Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Brian Shankman. Why don't you give yourself a quick introduction and we'll be off to the races.
Yeah, sure. I'm Brian Shankman, co-founder and CEO of Tooldesk. We have two apps that our company's created and continues to build. One is a plugin for Jobber, which is a very popular home services CRM. And the other is an AI lead qualifier called Tooldesk AI, where we sit on the website of home services businesses and help them capture, then convert their leads over SMS with a custom-trained AI agent.
Which came first, the chicken or the Tooldesk?
Yeah. So which app started first? Yeah. So we started with Tooldesk. Let me quiet down my Slack here. So we started with Tooldesk, the Jobber plugin, and really the insight that led us to build there, starting about a year ago, was that we connected with a pest control owner. She owns a pest control up in Seattle, and she had posted on Reddit, believe it or not, asking about a ringless voicemail system. I'll spare the details on how we landed on building ringless voicemail, but we saw what was happening with 11 Labs and OpenAI and what you could do with text-to-speech and how good the voices were. So we really set out to build, firstly, a ringless voicemail system for home services. You could send a custom voice note, voicemail, really, to your business's customers' phones without it ever ringing. And so we hopped on Reddit. We found Wesley at Parker Eco Pest Control, shout out. And she had posted on Reddit like a year prior looking for a custom ringless voicemail system. So I DM'd her.
Yeah.
We hopped on a call with my partner at the time. And we ended up building her a custom tool whereby every time an invoice reached a certain maturity, 30, 60, 90 days, a different ringless voicemail went out to the customer, and it was custom to them. Hey, Brian, this is Wesley. Your invoice for $600 is 30 days overdue. Super high conversion rate. She got her accounts receivable down by about $50,000. And she was using Jobber. And so when we were building this custom thing for her, we hopped into the Jobber app store. We'd both worked previously on Shopify apps and realized that there was a very nascent marketplace with Jobber with maybe 40 apps at the time, and said, hey, if you could get it on the Shopify app store when it had 40 apps, that would be a home run. So we started tinkering with different ideas and really landed on building what's most easily summarized as Klaviyo for Jobber. So Klaviyo is to Shopify what Tooldesk is to Jobber, essentially a fully fledged email and SMS marketing automation system.
Okay. And you said we, so I'm assuming you're not like the royal we. So why don't you introduce, I assume it's a co-founder or co-founders?
Yeah, so I had a partner that I started the first Tooldesk with. My current co-founder named Aaron joined. The first partner ended up leaving for personal reasons. It's all good. And so now it's just Aaron and I running the ship. And Aaron and I actually met when he was the CTO of a Shopify app called Bounty that did UGC on autopilot. And I joined them after their pre-seed as the head of sales. And so he and I worked together for about 16 months on that app. That app ended up kind of shutting down and pivoting. And then Aaron and I reconnected on Tooldesk. And now we're running both of these apps together. Yeah, and he's the tech side. Very talented developer. He builds, I sell, and yeah, that's kind of how we do it.
What did you settle on for the pricing subscription model, and what decisions led to that approach?
So for Tooldesk, the Jobber plugin, and we are rebranding the AI lead qualifier, so it's a little confusing right now. They both kind of use the same app, but the same name, but we didn't want to go through the process of building a whole new brand until we were sure there was a there with the new app. So a new brand's coming, totally different entity. But for Tooldesk, the Jobber plugin, it's $149 a month, and that includes SMS and email marketing, campaigns, flows, automations. Our biggest costs there are the SMS credits, so we kind of price around that. And, you know, we feel good about that price. There's definitely other systems like Textedly or Broadly you can go pay $29 a month for and do a text blast. But what makes us compelling, you know, we had three people sign up today. That's not a standard day. It's just been a good day. at that price is that we have a really deep integration with Jobber. Like, we completely built a custom-built integration where we essentially clone the jobber data into our system, so that you have it in real time to build filters on, filter your audiences on, and you don't have to worry about a CSV export the moment you add a new client to Jobber. It's in our system. So that's a pretty unique. Even some of the bigger systems like a MailChimp rely on webhooks, which creates some problems. But then there's other options on the App Store that are $3.50 a month or $4.50 a month, or if you get into the Hatches of the world, which I think was like a YC Winter 14 company that had been around for a minute, you know, they're charging $600 a month. So I see why they do that. There's a lot of long tail customers in the home services space that, with all due respect, are great businesses, but, you know, eat up a lot of time support wise. And if you're charging $29 a month, you could really run yourself ragged servicing those folks. So I'm guessing Hatch does that because they only want to work with the multi-million dollar HVAC companies, which makes sense. So Tooldesk Jobber pricing is, it's $149 a month. And then for our AI lead qualifier, it starts at $59 a month.
Got it. So when it comes to like your support process for yourself, like, is that just you and your co-founder, or do you have a team? Do you have like a help desk that you've set up? Are you using AI, and are you eating your own dog food when it comes to supporting your own stuff?
Yeah. So we use Intercom for chat, and we do a lot of just hand-to-hand. I mean, I'm on the phone with these folks. I call them from my personal cell phone. I text them from my personal cell phone. And I think that's an advantage we have that maybe a Jobber or House Call Pro or any other big SaaS company doesn't have, is a lot of times people are buying into Brian and Aaron as much as they are the product. And so we're just trying to be maximally available. Every person that pays us right now has had at least one sales call with me. That's actually starting to be less true now that we've set up some async stuff. But I just try and be as available as possible for our customers until it gets to the point that it's unreasonable, which we're starting to get there. You know, there's times that one of the biggest sticking points in our business is you need to add 3 records to your domain use your custom to send from like Brian at tooldesk.co. You have to add records to your domain.
Yeah.
And a lot of our customers, I love them, that's not their strong suit. And we made it easy for them to email the instructions to their local SEO agency, but some of them don't have a local SEO agency. And so there's been multiple times I've spent 90 minutes on a Zoom trying to help someone set up their DNS records. And that, I would say, is the type of thing we're trying to figure out how to operationalize. But yeah, support, to answer your question, Jeremy, is people text me, people call me. We have some help articles through Intercom and chat. And we don't really have enough help articles yet to really feed into Finn, the Intercom AI agent, but we want to keep building out that repertoire for sure.
So, like, pretty much 100% bootstrapped at the moment. Is the
100%.
Is the plan just to continue, you know, growing that base, you know, adding support reps and keep it as a lifestyle company? Or are you looking to, you know, sell at some point? Like, is there anything on the horizon that you've decided with your co-founder as far as the medium or long-term play for your SaaS?
So we're 100% bootstrapped. We've had some conversations with investors. I personally have worked at multiple venture-backed companies as an employee, somewhere it worked really well. $1 billion exit, somewhere it got sold for pennies.
Yeah.
Aaron was the co-founder of a venture-backed company, so he got to experience it in an even more intimate way.
Got it.
Now, the idea that someone would cut us a check for $500K or $1 million and we'd get an instant lifestyle upgrade and we'd have all this capital to do things with, I think sounds really compelling. At the same time, the fact that we are bootstrapped and every dollar counts and every dollar is ours, I think it puts us in a position where we're even more thoughtful and more considerate around what we do and how we spend money. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if you had to say, hey, Brian, you can have a $50,000 to $100,000 a month MRR business and it's you and Aaron and a couple offshore support reps and you're chilling, I don't see any problem with that. I mean, that sounds like a great life to me. At the same time, I think there is time and room to go for that moonshot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a conversation. I think for us, we're trying to control what we can control. And so if you have customers and you have a real product that works and you have real revenue, you can kind of you are the master of your own destiny. And I worked at a company right out of college, and I remember they were doing their like Series B, and the founders at our Monday stand-up said, the best time to raise money is when you don't need it. And yeah. that really stuck with me. So we're just focused short term on like, can we build a product? Can we get to, you know, 20K MRR or something in that neighborhood? And then at that point, you know, we can, Jeremy, make a choice if we want to go spend time fundraising or just keep growing it ourselves. And so we just want to put ourselves in a position with maximal options.
That makes sense. Do you want to geek out for a second and tell us about your tech stack, what things you had to figure out, pain points in your process?
Yeah, Aaron's probably better to speak to like the bones of the application. I know like some of our more internal systems, and I know some of the basic things we use. So I'll do my best. Aaron will probably listen to this and be like, "Brian, you really screwed that up." But, all of our texting is through Twilio, and then we actually set up a new SMS Rails called Telnix, because one issue we ran into with Twilio, and anyone that runs an app with SMS can relate to this, is sometimes the applications take so dang long. And so we get someone all excited and signed up on a Monday, and then it's the following Friday, they still haven't gotten their phone number approved for texting. Now it's the following Wednesday. And we've actually, luckily it's only happened once, but one time someone canceled because the Twilio application was taking so long, and they couldn't do the SMS campaign. So Twilio and Telnix for SMS Rails. Supabase is the database that Aaron uses. He uses, I know, Cursor, the kind of like AI coding companion a lot, which helps us ship really fast. My background is in sales and go-to-market and lead gen and growth. So yeah. A lot of the way we generate new customers is using something called Clay, which is a go-to-market technology that I'm pretty close with the company and collaborate with them a lot. And then we use Instantly for our outbound emails, and I use BuiltWith to identify people that are using existing home services CRMs, and that's been a really good angle for us. Obviously use Calendly, HubSpot for CRM, G Suite, Slack internally, and those types of things. Yeah.
So what does your marketing plan look like? What's your objective? What do you use for yourself, the term, you know, KPI or OKR, or are you just talking in the mirror and being like, let's do it, Brian, let's do it?
Get more customers as fast as possible.
That's a killer plan. Actually, yeah. I love the simplicity of it. So you're in
no
in,
OKRs. I've had to do too many OKRs over the past decade as an employee. It's build something people want, and then get as many customers to pay us as much money as possible in as short amount of time as possible.
So on the one product, and then we'll talk about the new one in a moment. But yeah. You do have kind of a limited pool in terms of like if it's a plugin to Jobber, yeah. Yeah. then you can only theoretically max out to, you know, X number of people that are using Jobber. Is there any cross-play in marketing between you and that other brand to kind of push them further, or raw outreach to people that aren't using it yet on the table? Or is that you just have to wait for them to be in the pool before you smack them with the stick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so cold outbound is my specialty. I had an agency where that was my main business for a while. I have one client still that are friends of mine, so I still do their outbound from them. But that's my comfort zone. And I think cold outbound with the right market can be quite successful for relatively low capital compared to, let's say, Facebook ads. I'm sure there's a lot I'm not doing on Google with SEO that you could coach me on, but it's been good for us. And particularly when we started the first app, we could get lists of websites that had Jobber on them through BuiltWith. And so that was a really good approach. Jobber got annoyed at us because we went so hard in the paint on outbound. So one of their SVPs reached out to us and told us to chill. And so we complied because we didn't want to piss them off. And we started focusing on the new app. But really, where 100%, I would say, of our customers have come from this month for Tooldesk, the Jobber plugin, we'll just call it V1, have been through the Jobber app marketplace. And so it's a relatively small app marketplace. It's maybe 60 apps right now. Yeah. When we started, it was less than 40. And so people go there. Jobber does not have SMS campaigns. And so people go there, they search We do have like a little SEO optimized app listing there. I was proud of that. And so when people search SMS or text or text blast or SMS blast, we come up as one of the few options. So that's where we get most of our users from for the V1 right now. And that's been good to us. You know, it's pretty, it's $0 CAC, zero CAC. It's definitely something we want to do with V2. I think it's a good hack for bootstrappers is if you can get into marketplaces and like coast off the back of bigger players, it's a pretty good way to get eyeballs on your solution.
So, obviously, like we have like Matt Mullenweg in a similar situation where, you know, there's instability coming into what was previously a stable SaaS with WordPress. Mm-hmm. Is there anything further as far as like future proofing, or is it pretty much just you cross your fingers because you don't know what, you're not in charge of Jobber and their choices could knock them out of the market in some way or make it less palatable, but is it just cross your fingers and hope that the upstream doesn't fail you, or is it build in redundancy?
So you're referring to like the platform risk of being on Jobber?
Yeah, other the platform risk of being on Jobber. Like if you're like talking to other potential SaaS owners or other SaaS owners looking to get into those marketplaces.
Yeah. So it's a huge problem for V1. Huge. And I'll explain what happened. That's why we started V2, which we'll call Tooldesk AI. You can check it out, tooldesk.ai. That was a huge inspiration for us starting a new app. So we started with Jobber, and when we started with them, they had you could not send an email campaign. You couldn't do it. This is a 7-8-year-old company. You couldn't do a blast email through their system.
Yeah.
Let alone do an SMS blast. Right. They had very, very, very little in way of like follow up automations to follow up on quotes and invoices. And this was just last year. This is literally a year ago.
Yeah.
And that was what inspired us. We're like, oh man, we can fill in the gaps on all of these things that Jobber is missing, this allegedly $1 billion valuation company with 200,000 users. And so we start shipping, we start building. At some point, someone from Jobber reached out to us and basically was like, hey, you know, we see you in the app store. We've had a few customers mention you. We'd love to talk. I'm not going to name names. We get on the call. The person's very excited. Hey, we'll put you in our newsletter. We'll do XYZ. You know, we'll promote you. All good. I'm like, great. You know, it'd be awesome to have Jobber support us.
Yeah.
We then follow up with this person 3 times over the next week, to complete ghost. I'm at Disneyland with my family, my brother and his kids, and I get a zero heads up. I get a DocuSign in my inbox with an NDA from Jobber saying, can you please sign this, from their VP of finance. And I go, what the hell is this? Like, the person we talked to said nothing about an NDA, zero communication. I obviously don't sign the NDA just because I don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And then that was like a Friday, and the following Monday, they do this like big event, and they basically ship our entire product. And now I'm not self-centered enough to think that Jobber saw our product and then a week later rallied their entire teams to ship what we built. I think it was just crazy timing. There's this idea of like, I think maybe Rick Rubin said it, it's like, there's a time when like the world's ready for an idea, and that's why you have like a lot of people create a lot of the same thing at the same time. It's just like the world is ready for that thing.
Yeah.
So I think it was more of that. I just think the person from Jobber maybe was like on the lead of that product and saw us in the app store and was like, uh-oh, these independent guys are building our new big release coming up at our big event, and just kind of got spooked. So that was a huge it took the wind out of our sails in a big way, because our whole value prop was filling in the marketing automation gaps in Jobber. Jobber shipped everything we had. Long story short, there's devils in the details. Some of their stuff is great. Some of it's not so great. They still didn't have SMS blast. People continue to come to us for a more flexible, more powerful option on top of what Jobber has. We have love for Jobber. We're cool with them now. It was just a really weird moment. Mm-hmm. But because of that, we said, okay, this is a really – number one, we have a really limited TAM. If you're not using Jobber, you can't use our product. So we're artificially handcuffing ourselves, and we'll always be at risk. And the couple of investors we talked to, that was their big reason for passing for now, was the platform risk with Jobber. And so Aaron and I said, okay, what would we do that would be entirely separate from any existing system? What can we connect to all systems with Zapier? What has minimal onboarding lift? What can't be like totally baked and taken away by a bigger CRM we're tied to? And that's where we landed with Tooldesk AI, the AI lead qualifier. You just put it on your website, it works, yada yada yada. So yeah, the jobber risk causes a lot of stress. It's live by the side sword, die by the sword. Yeah. There's been some great aspects of being on jobber, but it's a huge risk. So if you're thinking about building in any CRM, just understand they could ship your product tomorrow. And if you're building something that's truly working, they probably will. Why wouldn't they? Just game theory it. If you're making $20,000 a month on something they could ship in 90 days and then absorb all of that, why would they not do that, really?
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, when I was at Raven Tools, if somebody had built something onto it and it worked, I'd be like, hey, devs, like, why aren't we? I don't envy them. So, yeah, that's an interesting situation. So let's talk about V2. And like the shift obviously to that front end side of a website, and the concept is in 30 seconds, what's your elevator pitch?
Yeah, the elevator pitch is Tooldesk AI's 24/7 sales rep that captures leads on your website and then qualifies them over SMS using AI.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously, I have a couple of questions. So utilizing AI, the first question is there any concerns about process and hallucinations, the quality of the conversation, like what's been your experience on that side of things? And then, you know, how are you achieving that? Is that through Claude, GPT? Like what wells are you dipping into for that tech to provide that?
Yeah, so we use 4.0 through OpenAI right now, although I guess we need to use R1 through DeepSeek, apparently. Seems to be the hot new thing on the block. So, but no, we've done OpenAI so far. It's been great. And yeah, it's definitely a concern, particularly for things like quotes and estimates, right? Like if I reach out about, you know, getting my brand new house painted and the AI misquotes me at $2,000 when it's actually $20,000, like that's a huge problem for the business owner, right? So we started with just capturing the data from the lead and then allowing our users, our business users to qualify manually, basically look at the data. Yeah. And so we have this very optimized widget on the website that's it's kind of like a chat form. If you go to Tooldesk AI, you can see it. There's a live demo there. And it basically looks like a chat, but you open it and we just capture name and phone number and we immediately take the conversation to SMS. And initially, it was almost like not even really using AI. Like it was AI, but it wasn't because it was so deterministic. Yeah. It basically said, ask, let's just use a painting company or a junk removal company. Ask what they need taken away. Ask where they're located. Ask when they need it taken away. And then let them know that we'll give them a call. Right. And so they're like really intentionally was not room for the AI to do much. The temperature was very low or high, whichever one means it can't make shit up, basically.
Right.
We did that and it worked really well. And then we started to like open the aperture a little bit, and the AI is trained on each customer's website. So we scrape the website, and that's sort of the initial training data. Mm-hmm. And then we basically, and Aaron would describe this better than I would, but we basically give OpenAI two prompts. One of them is like a system prompt, which is more general. You know, you're an AI lead qualifier, be respectful, be thoughtful, ask open-ended questions. If you ever get confused, don't make stuff up. So that's like the higher priority prompt.
Yeah.
And then the lower priority prompt is from our user, which is, hey, I need you to ask these five questions. Here's what my pricing is. You know, send this message after you get all the data. And so between the system prompt and then the user prompt and having the system prompt be relatively constrained, we haven't had too many issues. And I've actually been quite surprised. There's sometimes I'll go in and check the conversations that are being had, and the lead will be asking like very non- like questions that were not explicitly covered at all anywhere in the prompt, and the AI handles it really well. So, and now we're working towards a place where the AI does provide estimates and quotes. We take in images, and we have a pricing guide in the app that our users fill out so the AI understands the pricing ranges. And yeah, so we've kind of crawl, walk, run with what the AI can do, but so far it's been pretty good. And if there's ever like small issues, it's usually just a change to the prompt in the system that can fix it.
So I know for a lot of it seems like there's a lot of variability in the types, like from service to service, from like a painter to I know a guy that did, you know, they were poop scoopers, and another guy like did toilet partition installation, and you know, he had a very long, surprisingly long, challenging process to get a proper quote built out in his system. So I know he's going to listen to this. Shout out to McDougald.
Shout out.
So with that in mind, like, how are you looking? Like, what does the onboarding look like? Does that mean that you've got, like, a unique process each time to feed in their sites to the agent and have that on the back end available to train it? Are there custom parameters and systems that you're having to build? Or are you taking a bucket by bucket, like, we've got painters and we've got plumbers, but we don't have widget installers? Like, how's your approach on that side look?
Yeah, so one thing that's helped this is we're super focused on home services only. We've talked to a couple agency partners about doing this for attorneys or dental offices, etc. But that's where you then start to get into this like multimodal situation where you need to have different agents for different types of businesses. Everyone that we work with right now is a home service company who offers one of a handful of services to typically a homeowner who needs the problem solved relatively quickly. And so because of that, the system prompt can be pretty much the same across all of our users. Mm. Now, the onboarding, and this is a big learning from V1, the Jobber plugin that we're now taking into V2, is you and I sit behind our computer all day, as do probably a good amount of people listening to this. These folks don't. Home service owner operators really don't. They're out and about. They don't. Some, you know, occasionally if they have a bigger business, they do, but for the most part, they're busy. They want to be on their phone. They don't want to spend 2 hours tweaking a system. And so we're ruthless about removing friction from the onboarding process. Yeah. Right now, the process, what we do is when you first sign in, we ask for your website. So just enter. And we then scrape your website, and that fills out two key sections of the agent instructions. One's your company description. So It pulls directly from your website, who you are, and what you do. And then the second section is your products and services. And we're indexing that from the website. So just by doing that, and that takes like all 5 seconds, we have the agent has a really good idea of who you are and what you offer.
Yeah.
And then lastly, that generates literally the agent instructions that say, you know, you're an AI sales rep for this painting company. Here are the 5 questions you should ask. And it's ChatGPT. If you went to ChatGPT and said, I have leads coming in for my painting company, what 5 questions should I ask to qualify them? It's going to give you a pretty good answer, right? So it's not rocket science. It's going to say, oh, ask how big their house is, residential, commercial. Like, none of this is this is stuff ChatGPT is pretty good at. So all of that work like takes less than 2 to 3 minutes, and then our customer and end user can just come in and modify that. And then we have a test chat in the app, so people will say, hey, if they're in this zip code or they're not in this zip code, qualify them in or out. You know, if they say this, do XYZ. If they say that, do XYZ, and they play with the test chat 3 to 5 times until they get the agent behaving the way they want. So we really try and make it quite easy, and a lot of the data comes from the website.
That makes sense. Anything that surprised you in the process of building this out versus your V1 version? Like, it sounds like they occurred like 1 or 2 years apart. So, like, how different is it now playing with AI-based tech and its capabilities versus, like, having to be very you know, systematic about your product management process of, there's this is laid out here, this does this exactly, and X, Y, and Z versus an agentic model?
Yeah, using AI has been great. It wasn't really super necessary in V1, but we started V2 and wanted to build it from the ground up using AI because it's this new technology that's awesome. So why wouldn't you want to build a company around it? It just creates, I think the whole point of software, even any service someone pays for, is like, I want to get back a lot and put in a little.
Yeah.
Like, they just want the value equation to be there. So if I hire a local SEO company, I want to pay them money, which, depending on your situation, could not be a big deal for you. $3,000-$5,000, do zero work, and now I rank number one on Google. Like, that value equation is just there. For us, they want to, like, spend an hour setting the system up and then know 24/7, 365, there's an active presence on their website, making the most of the Google LSA budget, making the most of the local SEO efforts, and capturing and qualifying leads, and particularly when they're busy out doing other things. And so I think just, like, narrowing down on that value equation has been really important for us, making it kind of a no-brainer, very little effort in, a lot of return back. And then what's been really dang nice for me as a person that runs all of the sales and marketing and everything is I feel like I was playing with a weighted vest on working just in the Jabber ecosystem, right? I was like so confined. Like Facebook, we tried Facebook ads once, but like it didn't work because how am I going to know who's using Jabber or not based on Facebook? We tried to do all these things with uploading domains and email addresses. It just didn't work. Now it's like you could be using – literally our ICP is the following. Home services company, independent home services company, home services franchise, and then local SEO agencies because we partner with them. And if you're one of those three things and you have a website, you can use our product. Before, you had to be, you had to meet all this kind of crazy criteria, and it just – so many things didn't work. I have a podcast and newsletter that I'm restarting right now called The Workbench. The reason I paused it is because it's a lot of work, as you know, Jeremy, to do this stuff. Mm. And I was like, oh, well, if we have 250 subs, what percentage of them use Jabber? Potentially zero. Like, this cannot work for lead gen. Organic content on social. I could make a video that gets 10,000 views and potentially 10,000 home service owner operators see it, but zero of them use Jabber. I literally can't do anything with that. So as a from a marketing standpoint, it has been really damn nice to like just open up all of the possibilities with who we can sell this to.
Yeah. So like 6 months to a year, what's your marketing plan look like? Is it mass cold email? It, I know you said you're thinking of restarting your services podcast. Is it social media ads? Is it organic social, physical? Are you going to go to like home shows and send somebody to hang out at, go from booth to booth and being like, oh, your website sucks. I wish I could schedule a service right now.
Yeah. All good questions, man. I mean, you know, we try and do things in a capital efficient way. So ads have been interesting, but from what I know about ads, it seems like you have to spend a good amount of money there, which may not be true, but that's my impression at least. So my background is in cold call, cold email, and I've had success there. So I think that will continue to be our main growth channel, just direct outreach. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, SEO has been good for us too for V1 because when people Google just the word Tool Desk, we're the first result. And then I think we rank for some things like SMS Blast and Jabber. Shout out to Alex Lathery over Blue Collar Bills. He helped us with our website. And then for, V2, like continuing to maybe get into some of the app stores for the big CRMs, starting some SEO with the new brand. The new brand's called Lead Truffle, leadtruffle.com. And so we picked that. We went back and forth on so many names, as anyone who's entrepreneurial has a million domains for stuff they never started. And the name, I've gotten better at this. When I was younger, I started with the name. It would spend like weeks on the name before doing anything. Now I'm like, all right, I'll worry about the name when I have like 20 paying customers. But we went with Lead Truffle because we liked the name. We thought it was indicative of what we do. But when you type in Lead Truffle, there's like nothing. It's just like random results about truffles and truffle pigs. So hoping we'll start ranking there for the new brand pretty soon once our site's ready. I think the home show stuff's really interesting. I would love to go in person to a show like that. I don't really know what the good ones are. If you know them, DM me after this and we'll maybe meet up at one. But just going to kind of keep doing what we're doing and continue to test new channels for sure.
So talking to aspiring SaaS folk, what would be a nugget of wisdom to give to anybody that's considering going down this route?
Unless you have an absolute home run, no-brainer, people letter of intent ready to pay you to use the thing you're about to build, I would not even think about starting a SaaS company unless you know how to code, you're willing to learn how to code, or you have a great partner that can code. Mm-hmm. I think I did this when I was 24. I spent $15,000 on a clickable app through some guys I met on Upwork in Pakistan. And I'm glad I did that. I don't think I'd be sitting here today, 7 years later, if I didn't do that.
Yeah.
But a key part of what we're realizing here with V2 is speed and iteration. Mm-hmm. And all of the YC stuff they talk about, talk to customers, implant customer feedback, we do that at like a ruthless pace. And one really obvious example is our first widget that sat on the website was about that big and just had a little chat bubble on it. And we put it on three websites. And for like 5 days, not a single person filled it out. Mm-hmm. And Aaron and I had a
heart attack.
Yeah. We had a real identity crisis. And we said, okay, let's sit here and copy all of the best chat widgets from live chat to all of the main, you know, chat providers, Intercom. And we just iterated for 3 hours and came back with a widget that has a bunch of social proof on it. And now the lead submissions are through the roof. And so if I had to spend $100 an hour to go back and forth with a dev agency offshore, that would have taken weeks, probably. It would have taken $500 to $1,000 or more, probably. But Aaron, who's a great developer on his own, and thanks to things like AI, can ship super fast. I think if you don't, and I wasn't ever going to start a SaaS company until I met my first partner and then Aaron was willing to work with us. I would go do an agency. There's so many other ways to make money.
Yeah.
We don't need to build products. But that would be my main thing. You can do so much. Like my outbound agency, it's just about piecing together existing SaaS, Clay plus Instantly plus a couple other things. So only, I would say only build SaaS if you, and pay to build it if you have an absolute home run or you have a great partner you can work with. Because also with a partner, the first thing you try is probably not going to be it. The second thing you try is probably not going to be it. So you have to be with someone that you can work with for a year or two and keep pivoting until you find the home run.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, like, because I've been in that scenario too of like having an idea, sending it out as its own standalone SaaS, and no, it did not fly. It did not work. I love that. So tell us one more time where people can find you if they want to hear more, connect with you. Where are you hanging out on socials? Yeah. Definitely going to put a lot of stuff into show notes for anybody that's listening.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I'm on Twitter, at Brian Shankman, B-R-Y-A-N. S-H-A-N-K-M-A-N, although the link will probably be down there. Our Jobber app is at tooldesk.co. And our new app, you can go see, we have a light landing page up at leadtruffle, LeadTruffle.com. And that's the new app. You can go check it out there. But yeah, man, Twitter, tooldesk.co, leadtruffle.com. And yeah, that's where you can find me. I'm on LinkedIn, but I feel like I meet a lot. I just meet people on Twitter. I feel like LinkedIn's more just for like getting engagement on posts and stuff. So yeah, Twitter's probably the best place.
Okay. Well, see you around. Thanks for your time, Brian.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy. Have a good one.